Times. This morning we're coming back to the book of Luke. In December, we spent all of December in the first two chapters of Luke as we looked at the Christmas stories. And going to just review some of that this morning and sort of round out chapter 2 and move ahead into Luke. I think by the end of March we'll be through chapter 5. That's the plan. As we look at Luke's trail of evidence to tell us who Jesus is. And I think he's very methodical and purposeful as he lays out the evidence. He started with announcements from an angel. Not just any old angel, but Gabriel. One of the angels who stand at the throne of God. And you'll remember the first message recorded in Luke chapter 1 is the message to a priest named Zechariah. Now Zechariah became the father of John the Baptist. And the first message there to Zechariah was not specifically about the Messiah, but about his son that would come, John, who would be the forerunner of the Messiah and the announcer of the Messiah. And then also in chapter 1 we see Gabriel visiting the Virgin Mary to tell her that she would give birth to a son and he would be Emmanuel, God with us. And let me just remind you of a few of the phrases that Gabriel used as he was talking to Mary. You can find it in chapter 1 beginning in verse 26, but I'm not going to read that. Like I say, we covered it very well in December, I think. But just a few of the phrases that Gabriel used. He said, "Mary, you will have a son, and you will call him Jesus." In the Greek of the day, it would have been Jesus. And in the Hebrew, to the Hebrew people, it probably was Yeshua. And even earlier in Hebrew, it would have been Yehoshua. Or Yahashua, sounds a little more like Joshua. And the name, it's basically the same name, Joshua and Jesus. And so it really was not an uncommon name. It comes to us as, you know, when it goes from Greek to Latin to English, we get Jesus. Not specifically an uncommon name of the day, but Gabriel distinguishes this child as the Son of the Most High. He's not just any old Joshua. He's the Son of the Most High. He said he will take the throne of his ancestor David. His kingdom will never end. He will be called Son of God. And all of those statements are quotes from Gabriel presented in Luke chapter 1 there. And all of them are names and reference points directly to the Word of God as predicted by the prophets at regarding the awaited Messiah, the one who would come to save Israel and the nations. So the first testimonies that Luke lays out are straight from the throne of God delivered by Gabriel. And then in chapter 2 of Luke, we find another angelic visit by an unnamed angel to the shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem. And you know that story well. Like I said, Luke did not identify the angel in that case, but the message is very specific. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Nothing cryptic about that message. This is who he is. He is the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah. Born today. And then to back up that angel, a heavenly host, of just a whole host of angelic beings arrive to praise and just back up the message. So he presents testimonies of more than one angel, or at least repeated by angels. And then we have this, I guess in order of office, we have the priest, Zechariah. And he was not the high priest. He was one of many priests, but Luke tells us that he was a righteous man. He and his wife both were righteous and faithful to God. And Gabriel visited Zechariah when he was serving in the temple. Probably the only time of his life he got to go into the holy place and light and burn the incense. And Gabriel met him there and gave him the message. Even though he was past childbearing age and his wife was past childbearing age, he said, "You're going to have a son. And you will name him John. And he will be the announcer, the forerunner of the Messiah. And he will call Israel to repentance." And you might remember that Zechariah was speechless for the whole length of the pregnancy, his wife's pregnancy. He was mute because he challenged Gabriel on his message. But you also remember that when John was born, Zechariah testified in writing, "His name is John," because that's what Gabriel told him to name the boy. His name is John. And then his voice was released. And we find in chapter 1, this Zechariah's song. He burst out into praise once his voice came back. And most of that song, and it's toward the end of chapter 1, is about just praising God for who God is and for giving him a son in his old age. But in verse 69, there's a very specific reference to the Messiah. It says, "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And the next verse says, "as he said through his holy prophets of long ago." Raised up a horn of salvation. Among the prophets of the Old Testament, and even in books like Revelation, a horn represents a strong and mighty leader. It usually refers to a leader that God has put into place or uses for his purposes, his redemptive work. And here, of course, the horn of salvation is a reference to the work of the Messiah. He says he has raised up a horn of salvation here in Israel, a strong king, or in this case, the King of Kings. And so we have the testimony of angels, and we have the testimony of a priest that Jesus is Messiah. He is salvation. And next week we're gonna focus on the word of Zechariah's son, who was a prophet. And he was called to be a prophet before he was born. But there's so much there. We're going to spend a couple of weeks on John the Baptist. But let me show you another reference to a prophet here in chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. There's the testimony of a lady named Anna, who is pointed out as a prophet. It's a brief account. Doesn't give us a lot of information, but it's significant that Luke would even mention a woman's testimony. The Hebrew writers didn't, but Luke has included her testimony. He referred to her as a prophet or a prophetess. And this part in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and following, the context is when Jesus' parents took him to the temple for consecration, as was prescribed in Exodus, that the firstborn male of any family must be given to the Lord, and they would do a sacrifice to consecrate that firstborn, to basically buy him back to the family. And that's what's going on here when Anna sees them in the temple. Look at verse 36. "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after their marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. How old was she? She was 84. She had never left the temple. Now, let me point that. I think that's one of those hyperbolic statements. I don't think she literally lived in the temple 24 hours a day. It would be like Mark's always at the church, you know, something like that. She hung out at the temple, and she worshiped night and day and fasting and praying. And coming up to Mary and Joseph and the child, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. We don't have her specific words, but she saw the child, recognized this is the Savior. It's not incidental that she spent her time in the temple fasting and praying. She was prepared to recognize the Lord. And she gave testimony to those who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Look, the Savior right here. So angels, priests, prophets, and Luke also lays out the testimony of common folks. We know about Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife. Even though she was the wife of a priest, she held no special office. But Luke includes her testimony in here. And we don't know how Zechariah communicated to her what he had been told by Gabriel. He motioned, wrote it out, drew pictures, whatever he did. But she understood it and she believed it. She got it. Her baby would announce the coming Messiah. And then she learned that that's Mary's baby. And you remember when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's baby, John, leaped in her womb. And she said, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord would visit me?" Isn't that a cool declaration? A testimony. This baby is Jesus, the Savior of the world. And of course, we know about the shepherds out in the fields that were visited by the angel. The angel told him, "Today in Bethlehem, the Messiah has been born." Well, what did the shepherds do? They went to see. And then what did they do? They went around telling everybody, "The Messiah was born today in Bethlehem. He's over there. Go look." We'll back up a little bit in chapter 2 for another common person's testimony. In verse 22 through 32, we get the testimony of a fellow named Simeon. He's not listed as a priest or a prophet, just a guy named Simeon. And it's at that same time, it's at the same time that Anna saw the baby, in that same series of events at the temple. Verse 22, "When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord." Isn't that interesting? They were taking the Lord to see the Lord about the law of the Lord. "And that law said, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons." By the way, the dove or pigeons were substitute sacrifices allowed for poor people. Just tells you a little bit about Joseph and Mary. "Now, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms," the child, "he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. What he's saying there is, I can die now. I've seen the Messiah. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon's declaration borrowed prophetic words from Isaiah about the Messiah. This was a man who had been looking for the Messiah for years, preparing himself for the Messiah. He knew Isaiah's prophecies well. And the Holy Spirit sent him to the temple to see the Messiah. He'd been promised that he would get to see the Messiah before he died. And when he saw the child, he knew. It doesn't say he asked anyone. He knew. The Spirit revealed it to him. And he held the child, Jesus, in his arms and declared, "Now I can die because God's word has been fulfilled. The Messiah is here." Angels, priests, prophets, and common folk. You don't get any more common than shepherds, right? I mean, the people of the land. And God sent angels to talk to them. Angels, priests, prophets, common folk, all saying, the Messiah is here. This baby is the Messiah. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, is the Holy Child. Jesus, Yahushua, Yeshua, Jesus. It's Him, the Savior from God. I think I forgot to mention the meaning of Yeshua. You probably read it in a footnote. It means God saves. Salvation from God. Now we're going to spend, like I said, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to use both of those Sundays to look at the testimony and the work of John the Baptist, another prophet. His testimony to announce the coming of the Messiah and call Israel to repentance. And then we're going to look at the testimony of Satan and demons, who Jesus is. And we're going to look at Jesus' own words about who he is and a message heard from heaven, from the throne. And then we're going to turn to the miracles, the works that are further evidence that he is the Messiah. And Luke said in his very first paragraph, "I'm writing this orderly account." And he addressed it to his friend Theophilus. And of course, knowing that other people would read it or hear the words, "I'm writing this down so that you can know Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Messiah." Do you know that deep in your soul? Someone asked me this week, Richard asked me this week, what about, I think you call them lone wolf Christians. People that say they're Christian, but they don't want to involve themselves with other Christians. And they really don't want to live the life, but that's their choice. You know, if they had to make a choice, they'd be Christian. But is Jesus Lord? Does it change you? Does it affect you? Does it guide you? I hope as we look at the evidence that that you're convinced. Now, you could be convinced intellectually and not be affected by it. And you could admire Luke's skill to lay this out and not be affected by it. But I pray that as we review the evidence, that you know deep in your soul, this is true. And I will commit myself to Him. I will trust Him and follow Him all the days of my life. That's what we want. That's what Luke wanted for his friend Theophilus. That's what Luke wanted for the other people who would hear and read this word in the first century. And that's what Luke wanted for us. I doubt he thought about it being written in English, right? But here it is, generations later. We sang a song earlier, I Surrender All. I know you've heard this before, but it didn't say, I surrender some. That might be a more truthful way to sing it, but the song is, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. That's the life. It's not complicated. We make it complicated sometimes, but it's not intended to be. I think one of the Wednesday night classes had that discussion this week. What's the plan? Follow Him. You want to be a disciple? Follow Him. You'll figure it out as you go. And the first order of business is tell somebody. That's good. That's a good word. Let's stand and sing, and we'll close out the official time. But I will say you can hang around here as long as you want to today. We can lock the doors and they'll lock behind you when you leave. If you need to restore some friendships or pray with somebody, hang out here and do it. If you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to make that commitment this morning, come. Just come right up to the front and someone will come alongside you and we'll help you. Whatever you need, let us help you. Let's sing.